You are listening to UPRN, United Public Radio Network, coming to you live on 105.3 right up to 107.7 FM from the beautiful city of New Orleans. UPRNTalkRadio.com. And I do hope you are all feeling grand today. So, welcome to the show. I do hope that you've been having a fantastic day. We have over here in the UK. I'm pressing buttons left and right here. There we go. You see what I mean? I was pressing buttons and nothing was happening. I was thinking, what is going on here today? Anyway, let's see who's coming to the chat room. Roger, I'm already. Paul, where the hell are you? I'm waiting on you. And there he comes live and loud and proud. Live. I'm going to do a strong Irish accent tonight because then Roger won't be able to follow that one. we have a person that's come and joined us, as you can see down there. Look, Paul Francis. Hi, Paul Francis. Well, a hi, Facebook user. I'm really sorry, but I really, 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 really would love to say who you are, but Facebook being the inept quality business platform that it is, I don't know who you are. Roger's in the house, and Roger's a super clairvoyant. He didn't even know who you are. So, but and nonetheless, thank you for being here. I'm not going to take the mickey out of you tonight. That's wrong. So Alison Anderson says, hi, Paul. Good evening, Alison. Valerie Kesterson says, ready for a great show? Then you're in the wrong show. So, Lindsay Hill has joined us. Hi, Paul and Roger. Hi, Lindsay Hill. Lynn's joined us. Sue Vinicum, Little Sue Vinicum. I love that. Don't you love that name, Little Sue Vinicum? Yep. It sounds like a little Christmas person, doesn't it? Vinicum.
Oh, your favorite's on the bottom here.
Oh, Trudy's in the house. There we go. There's the good show out the window. That's the great show right out the window. Trudy's in the house. This house is clay. Trudy's here. Trudy, I've known Trudy longer than I've known my parents. So she's. Yeah, everybody's going, what? I don't get that. So Sue and Julie Sharp has joined us as well. Lovely to see you all in the house tonight. Thank you so very, very much. Well, we want to send, and I'm sure Roger's going to join me immediately when I say we're going to send our absolute condolences and our love to our pal Gina, who sadly lost her dad. And Gina, my darling, all of our love and all of our strength. and I ask my angels to surround you and protect you over the days and weeks and months to come. As I tell people on a regular basis, I'm pretty confident Roger will back me up here. There is no cure for loss of a loved one. There is no cure. And people will say, oh, time makes it better. No, it doesn't. Time just helps you get used to them not being here. That's the high and the low of it. You will continue to miss them, and it will sting your heart every single day until you see them again. However, that being said, the best way to honor them is make the best out of your life. Make your life worth something. Because everything they taught you, everything they, when they put their life, heart, soul, and love into you, it's now your turn to make them proud. So look up at the sky, tell them thank you so very much, stick with you, and let's make this life happen. And I said, my dear mom and dad, please, please look after me and send me the best pals. And they didn't listen, and I got Roger. So
I knew that was coming. Do you remember some of the things that your mother taught you, Paul?
I do, my book.
Like
my
respect
book.
For your elders.
Respect for my elders. My mother used to say things like, bend over to slap you. So, because I was taller than her. Bend over here to slap you. So, respect. Oh, my God. My mom was very, very. My mom was the most rounded person you could ever come across. She was a nurse, okay? And she's very easygoing and very comedic and very musical. But you cross her and you get her on a bad day, oh my God, she makes Satan blush. I tell you. Oh my God. I remember days that if you didn't do your bedroom properly, she made you square off your bed, you know, like a nurse would.
Right.
And I remember one afternoon I was playing outside with my pals, and we were in the middle of a football game, like a sort of street football game. And my mom shouted out, hey, Paul, listen, you need to do your room. And I said, yes, mom, this is the game's nearly over. Give me 15 minutes and I'll come in and do my room. Of course, 15 minutes doesn't mean diddly squat when you're playing a football game, does it? So he carried on. Half an hour later, she goes, Paul, room. I said, yeah, mom, nearly there. An hour later, I can't use the tones because it'll blow up the microphone, but she shouted my name. So eventually, I said to the lads, listen, I gotta go. I'm just gonna lose my mind in a minute. So I went back to my house to find everything that was in my room, with the exception of the bedstead on the front lawn.
Oh, wow.
She went up into my room, she opened the windows, and she turned everything out. Everything. Mattresses, pillowcases, the bedspread, the duvets, shoes under the bed, all everything as you could see couldn't lift, went out the window.
Did you learn?
Oh, did I ever? She said, now, when I tell you to do your room, and I have to carry everything up, put it, you know, properly. So, yes, I listened to my mom. Get your room done, lads. I'll be back in half an hour. As soon as he comes, says, I agree, no cure for grief. It's a process of many emotions for people.
You know, Paul, there's one thing that my mother taught me, and this is, it's really going to sound goofy to everybody.
Yeah.
But she used to say, why are you using so much toilet paper? Do you got an elephant's rump? And then, Paul, I swear to you, God is my witness, and I do it now to this day. She showed me how to fold it ply per ply. And only use like 3 or 4 ply and then rip it off. I swear to you, I still do it.
Well, it's just like, you know, back in the days when I was quite young, we didn't have a huge amount of money. So we had to listen to advice. So Emma Lorimer has joined us. Emma says, hi, Paul and Roger. Lovely to see Emma. Welcome to the show as well. Rachel Martin says, what days are you live? What days are you live?
Live or live?
I'm Rachel Martin. Come on. What's that mean? What days are you live?
I'm not saying that.
What days are you live? I'm live right now. Is that, if that's what you... Well, we're live. I'm not too sure about Roger, but I know I am.
I do know what's coming again.
Trudy says, when you were young, and puts a question mark, you saucy cow. When I first met Trudy, I was thin. I was actually thin.
I'm not going there either.
I was thin. I'm twice the man I was when I first met Trudy. Trudy and I met, Roger, as funny as we are sitting here together today on this wonderful show. Trudy and I met during the early parts of my music career.
Okay.
And she used to wear my band's t-shirts and turn up to gigs and shout and scream and throw items of underwear onto the stage. They weren't her underwear, they were just somebody else's. But I could always tell because there were Y fronts and a big hairy boot. But Jacqueline Marsh says, hi, Roger and Paul. Hi, Jackie, and welcome to the show, my love. Good to see you. Listen, Thursday nights doesn't have a specific theme per se, but let's have a chat about, we kind of kicked it off in a theme that is, it was unplanned, but the great memories of the past. What do you think, Roger? I mean, we're both automatically talking with absolute love about our past relationships with our parents, etc. And it's a bit of fun, you know. Something of my past that influenced me in a big way passed away yesterday as well. The great Tina Turner.
Yeah.
She left us yesterday, and she was a big influence on my music. And when I used to do band work, my daughter would sing her songs, and I would play them.
Can you see that, Paul?
I can see that, Roger. What is that?
That is me at the age of 13.
And you still can't play?
I play 9 instruments now, sir.
You play 9 instruments. You were playing the drums there. You've heard some of my music. I've played all the instruments on those songs, including the drums, but it's electronically I layer the drums down. I don't sit down with a kit. But so I have a lot of respect for musicians, you know. I actually encourage people, especially somebody who's lost a loved one, I encourage them to pick up an instrument, an acoustic guitar maybe, or a piano, something that's simple and easy. And you'll find notes, you'll find chords that will resonate with you, and you'll be able to let go some of your stresses through the instrument. Give it a go. I promise you. Roger and I joke about, and we do things, but we're both musicians, and we can both tell you it is a phenomenal way to get rid of your stresses and your worries and your pains, and especially your pains when you're carrying the loss of someone. I wrote songs when I nearly lost Johanna. I wrote songs when I lost my mom. I wrote songs when I lost my dad. Lynn says, your lighting's very low. Now she's a flipping director. My lighting's low because I want it low. Now she's a director.
Be nice.
I have thrown directors off film sets because they annoyed me. I have. No, it's true. It's true. It was actually, they annoyed me because they asked me to go away, Roger. I mean, have you ever dealt with movie people?
No.
They're out of their mind. They're right off their trolley.
I'd be the first one to say something, too.
I tell you what, this person, we were doing a movie that was a German film company, and they came over to, there's a writer, I don't know if you guys get her in the United States, called Daphne du Maurier. And she had several books, and this film company came over from, obviously, Germany. And they were converting one of her books into a movie, and I was in the movie. But they also said, listen, is there any chance you could work on the score? And I said, yes, of course I'll work on the score. So they said, do you know Dancing Queen by ABBA? I said, yeah. They said, could you recreate that for us? And I said, why don't you use the original? They went, no, we're not allowed to do that. I said, but if you recreate it, that we can use that. I said, yeah, okay. 3 weeks I was in the studio, 3 weeks layering the tracks, doing all the musicians, layering all the instruments, layering on the backing vocals, layering the primary vocals. So 3 weeks I come back into the studio, onto the set, and the set was in Plymouth here in the UK. So I walked onto the set, and the director said, okay, you're filming today, you're shooting scenes here. And I said, right. And they went, did you have any chance you finish those tracks? I said, yeah, they're done. I've given them to the sound guy. So she said, okay, let's hear the track. So we're on set. Now I want you to imagine a huge, big, it was a bank, but the bank was circular. Okay, so it's a circular bank, and I'm standing right in the center of it, and this director is standing right in front of me. So they play Dancing Queen by ABBA. Off it goes. She starts playing, and she's going, oh, this is really good, this is really good. So in comes the lyrics. She lost her mind. She starts screaming and shouting, stomping her feet, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? There is a point to my story that everybody's going, what the hell is he on about? Well, there's a point, I'll tell you in a second. And so she's shouting and screaming, so I gripped her by the face. You know, like that, Roger, you know what I call.
So I did not. She's yelling at you?
She was yelling at me, shouting and screaming. So I went, Roger. And she went, oh. And I went, shut up. And I said, did you ask me for Dancing Queen by ABBA? And she said, yes. She goes, but we don't want the lyrics. I said, did you tell me that? She said, yes. I said, no, you bloody didn't. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put them on and spent right. nearly $5,000 putting them on. And she said, the sound guy was supposed to tell you. I said, they're supposed to and did. And so needless to say, actually, my parts in the film stayed. But I told them from that moment on, I was no longer doing their music. But it was funny. Now, the point of that whole story is communication is the key. Communicate all the time. Dawn Hatton, by the way, says, hi, my lovelies. Dawn, my darling, I was in Truro pretty much all of today. So I hope you're well, my angel. Where are we? Trudy says, me too. I've got the photographs. Which, yes, Trudy does have photographs of she and I very, very young. Your memory is poor. No, it is. My memory's spot on, Miss Hall. Hi, Cynthia. Oh, Lynn, speaking to Cynthia. Okay, let's go past that. Your lighting's very low. She thinks she's a director now. I learned a long time ago never to give Paul advice, so I just give him orders. That's very true. Never got over the loss of my dad, says Valerie. I'm going to bring this one up on screen because we're coming back into... There's Rachel Woods who's back. Valerie says, never got over the loss of my dad. He comes to me. I am extremely sensitive, and he was too. And he sends me signs. Dad died for signs. Sorry, I'm going to read that again because maybe this is... I've misread this. Never got over the loss of my dad. He comes to me. I am extremely sensitive, and he was too. And he sends me signs.
He died
for 37 minutes and saw him. He didn't touch me, but my sensitive got 10 times strong. My sensitivity got... I'm okay, Valerie. So basically, when you cross over to the other side, you saw your dad and you feel much, much stronger about that. Yes, I was watching a show on that today about what happens after death. And there's a few people who had the great gift of when they crossed over, they interacted with a loved one. One of them happened to be one gentleman met his dad, and he never got the opportunity, Roger, to say to his dad that he loved him while they were here. But
he did it there.
When he crossed over, he got the opportunity to hug his dad and tell him that he loved him. And his dad did exactly the same back, but his dad said, now you've got to go back. You can't stay here. He said, but I don't want to go back. And then I could understand that because when I had my NDE, I didn't want to come back either, but I didn't know the people that were around me. They were clearly there to heal me because they were all touching me. They were just touching me at the end of their finger like that. They just kept touching me like that. And at the end of it, they said, right, now you've got to go back. And I was like, I don't want to go back. They were going, no, you must go back. And they went, I went, nah. And I was arguing with them. I remember saying, I'm not going back, and I know you can't make me go back. And they said, you have work to do for us. And then they went, boop. And I went, like, on a big glass elevator. But it's just... Did it change my life? Yes. And did it open my... Roger, did you have something similar?
When I went over to the other side,
yeah,
I remember I was going through the dark tunnel, and the person that I was married to at the time, she kept on saying, honey, honey, you're shaking me and all that. And then I just, like, I remember on that side, that I was in a hospital room, and I was up there on the ceiling looking down at me on the bed, and it was bright, bright white. And the doctor came in and grabbed my chart and said, who's this guy? This is the wrong guy. He said, we don't need him. He said, get him out of here. And the nurse pushed the bed like that, and I went through two doors. And all of a sudden, I heard my wife at the time calling me, are you okay? Are you okay? And I just laid there. And I opened up my eyes, and I thought to myself, why did you call me back? And then I sat up, and I just told her, I'm fine. Why didn't you leave me alone? She goes, well, I was worried about you. You weren't moving. You weren't doing... I said, I was fine. You could have left me there.
Wow. So you were angry that you had to come back.
Yeah, it's beautiful over there.
Well, it is. I was kind of perplexed as to why I was coming back as well, because there was a lot wrong with me at the time.
There still is.
There's one opportunity to get back. There you go. They'd given me 3 weeks before I'd had my NDE, and that was 10 years ago now. What I was perplexed about was two things. Number one is why they made me come back. But number two was I realized when I was there that I no longer cared
about
anything or anybody.
Oh, when you're over there, you're just like,
yeah,
like this. And then all of a sudden they start talking to you and you go, huh?
Yeah. I was surrounded by these beings, these people. I couldn't make out their faces. I could just make out the shapes. And I remember surrounding me in this room was the over-intense smell of chocolate. And it felt to me like I was inside chocolate mousse. That's the best way I can describe it. I was literally inside chocolate mousse. And they said, you've got work to do for us, Paul, and you need to go back. So obviously back I went, but, I had a real strong contemplation of guilt, massive, massive, massive guilt. And I mean, proper, really sad, sickening, gut wrenching guilt, because I realized I didn't care. And I looked at my daughters and my son and I went, how could I not possibly care? What the hell was going on? Why did that happen? And I went into a massive depression because of it. And I realized that this is part of my training. This is part of what I've got to learn and what I've got to deal with when you and I, Roger, are dealing with the people who come to us to try and bring through messages from their loved ones. They're in that spot. Then, so I realized, oh, gotcha. So you need to understand what these people are feeling, Paul. You can't walk in there guns blazing and just deliver a message thinking you're Captain Big Bollocks and off you go. You need to understand what it's like. Now you know what it's like to have cancer. Now you know what it's like to have been in a road accident. Now you know what it's like to have full-on depression. When you're dealing with these people, know what they're going through. And once I figured that out, once that kind of little light went on above my head, the depression left me. It just went, like that. And I realized, and I can tell you guys now, because I'm very, very comfortable in sharing with you guys now. But in that time, I remember looking at all of the meds that the doctors had given me. And the doctors had given me a lot of meds because I was dealing with cancer at the time. I had cancer. And there was huge boxes of very, very potent and powerful painkillers. And I just remember thinking to myself, all I have to do is take about 12 of those. I'll fall asleep and I'll go back there.
Yep.
And my baby girl, Maya, grabbed me by the cheeks and she said, "Dad, I love you." Boom, out of it, like that. Yeah. And it never went back into my head again. So it's, you know, it's a situation and a place that I had to experience that I can now say, if I'm sitting with someone, I can now say, listen, there is a way out of this. There is an option, but that option is down to you. No amount of medication will fix this. You must choose to fix this. And we as human beings are so powerful. It's unbelievable. Would you agree, Roger? We are so amazingly powerful
as human beings. But we don't use this.
We don't use. We use the tiniest yep. fraction of what we have, with the abilities that we have. You look at what we did last week. I put everybody who was watching our show, I said to them, right, stare at me. And I had everybody all around the world reading an aura, including your beautiful wife. Yes. And look how many people got it spot on right, including you, Roger.
Yep.
Probably the first right reading you've ever had. But it was spot on right. You didn't get that one.
Yes, I did. It's what they say, consider the source.
I love it. But
I have a question for you, Paul.
Always for anything for you, brother. You know that.
How did you feel when you came back? Did material things matter to you after that?
Well, no. No, they didn't. Before I came back, I remember coming down. I remember looking below myself, and I could see my body lying on the hospital bed. And I could see it. And I remember thinking, oh, that's not good. You know, and I remember looking down. And then I remember starting to come into my body. But before I started coming into my body, I looked around the ward. And I could see all these people at each side. There was, you know, three beds in front of me and two beds to my side. And I could see all of these people around the beds. And I remember looking out to my left, and there's a corridor. And there was a gentleman walking along, an elderly gentleman. And he had one of those trolley things that hangs, you know, the bag, the drip bags on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking along pushing it. And there were two people each side of him, and they had their hands on his shoulders. And they were... And I was like, oh, okay, it must be. I literally remember thinking it must be visiting time. And as I opened my physical eyes, these actual eyes, poof, they all went, all of them. They all went poof, like that. I was like, but I remember everybody, including the gentleman, because I could just catch the tail end of him. He just kept going walking like he was walking while I was seeing him with the people around him. And all of the people who were in the beds across from me, they were all just sitting, sort of doing whatever they were doing, staring at the sky, reading a book, whatever. And all of the people that I saw around them just went, poof, gone. So I was thinking, oh my God, I've just been given a vision or an ability to see everybody that's actually around us at that moment. And it that shocked me as well. Because, you know, I felt different. And I remember about a half hour later, the doctors came in and went, the nurses came in first. Then they went away. And I was like looking at them thinking, what the hell are they doing? And then the doctors came rushing. And he came rushing, you know, not running, but walking very, very quickly. And he came running and he grabbed me by the wrist. And he checked my pulse and he looked at me, put his hand on my forehead. And he went, your temperature's dropping. I was like, and? You know, I was looking at him thinking, what are you on about? He says, we were getting, well, you, Roger, you and I have known each other for how many years now? about 5 years, right? And you know, my response, if I'm nervous, is comic. A comic response really quickly. And the doctor said, we were getting you ready for an ice bath. And I said to him, if you'd have put me in an ice bath, you would have needed a doctor. And he started laughing. I said, I'm not kidding you. What are you on about ice bath? He said, before you went, Paul, before your temperature broke, he said, we were really, really worried whether you were going to have an aneurysm because your temperatures were too high. Wow. So obviously that was the trigger into me having an NDE. And then the NDE went, well, you're not ready to come up here, so you're going to be here for quite some time. Off you go back. And 3 days after that episode, Roger, I was walking out the front doors of the hospital.
And me, it was 4.
Yeah, there you go. So it's amazing. We are superhuman beings, but we just don't believe in ourselves enough. We don't practice enough. Tina Cantu says, hi, liked and shared the show. Rachel Wood says, hi, Paul. Hope you are all well, Rachel. We are fantastic because you're here. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Man, says Dawn. I was in my garden. It was glorious. You should have just popped up. I should have actually, Dawn, because I had to wait nearly 5 hours in Truro for Johanna. Rachel says, I have had an out-of-body experience twice in my dreams. And they were so real. I remember everything about them. That's interesting. Now, Roger, let's have a look at Rachel's. I've had an out-of-body experience twice in my dreams. Were they out-of-body experiences or were they visitations? I would say
maybe we're wrong, but because we're not her. But to me, it's a visitation.
Yeah. We'd love to do you fancy coming on the show and talking to us, Rachel?
Because the spirit and the body do separate.
They do separate at night. Yeah, they can separate at night. And it's when our friends and family and spirit, when they come to us, we call that a visitation. And it's easy for them to communicate with us at that point because we are in a mental state that we are, shall we say, they can come through to us. It's much easier for them to communicate with us at that particular, it's called a theta level. You got alpha, beta, and theta. Alpha is where we are right now. We're very alert. We understand everything that's going on. Beta is that stage where you're starting to drift off to sleep and where you're at the stage where, yeah, you can be hypnotized. That's beta. Mm-hmm. Theta is when you are gone. You're out of it. That's theta. And that's the stage where they can come in and communicate to you.
Yep.
But anybody who wants to come on the show with us tonight, we can make that happen. all right. Medium and animal communicator, Kimmy. Hi, Paul. So happy to catch you live. Well, thank you very much, Kimmy, for being here. Very kind of you to be here. Another wonderful person coming in on the Facebook level saying, hiya, Paul. Hiya.
Hi, Mary.
Facebook person. I'd love to be able to say who you are, but come out of there, go on to YouTube, go into YouTube, search bar, Paul Francis Medium, you'll be straight back to us. Anne Gamble has joined us as well. Anne, good evening. Welcome to the show, my darling. Valerie says, do you know what, Roger? My brain and eyes are reading it, but my mouth is having an argument with my brain. So I've had
3 cancer, 29 surgeries, just as 2 surgeries in the past month, having another surgery next Wednesday and another month, and told once 2 months to live. In September, it will be 25 years. Good for you, girl. Keep going.
You've decided I'm not going to go.
Right.
Stop. You know what? My father rewrote the medical books. My dad rewrote the medical books. My dad's blood pressure dropped down to 62, something like that. We were immediately called. Your dad's not going to last the night. You need to get your butts over here. And that was September, I think, something like that, September. And my father decided time for him to go the following Easter. So September, October, November, December, January, February, March. And then that's when my father decided, time for me to go now.
Have you ever predicted somebody, Paul, in reading for someone, have you ever told them, like, they come and say, they told me I'm going to die, it's so-and-so, it's so-and-so, and you go, no, this is what I've done. I would go, no, you're going to go past Christmas and then some. And I'll be, if it didn't happen that way.
I get, Roger, you know me. I get so angry with idiots that call themselves psychics and then give people messages like that who they haven't a clue what they're talking about.
Well, Paul, I did it.
No, not you. No, you. When people come to you and say somebody told them, they're going to, idiots like that. The amount of times that I've had people say to me, I've been told I'm going to pass young. I'm like, okay, so what do you call young?
I'm still young. I'm 72.
Yeah. My pals and I, we talk each day. We've been pals since we were 14. And I'm 60 next year, so it's a big birthday bash for me. However, I don't feel any different than I did when I was 30. But the question is, how would they know what young is? There's no concept of what young is, because your mind is it's the age you want it to be. Right. I've seen people. I mean, you look at Tina Turner, right? When she hit her absolute height of her career, she was already in her mid-50s, late 50s in fact, and she was a bombshell. She was rocking it. She's called the Queen of Rock for a reason.
Yep.
And it's like I remember going to a martial arts seminar, and there was a gentleman there, and you could tell he was old. He was an elderly gentleman, and he was very experienced. And he started throwing these guys around. These guys were like 6'2", 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and he was throwing them out like rag dolls. And it turned out this guy was 92.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and these guys were flying across the room. And I know one of these guys was a close friend of mine, Paul McCormick. And he put Paul McCormick out cold by just tapping him on the cheek. He went, pop, like that. Paul McCormick dropped out like that. Wow. Yeah. And this guy was 92. So age does not dictate your position in life. You dictate your position in life.
Yeah.
Kathy Hanley Little said, hi, boys. I can hear her just saying it like that. Sue Vinicum says, let's bring Sue's message up in here. People talk about astral projection. I have a friend who says he can or she can control that and leave a body. Yes. Yes, that's very, very possible. If you are trained, if you are not trained, don't do it. Do not attempt it. You need to be really, 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 really trained. And when I'm talking about trained, when you need to be sitting with professionals who can talk you through astral projection and then bring you back. And you cannot mess with that stuff. That's the stuff where you
talk down live on a show.
That's where you go out. You could maybe not come back. So you can't mess with that. Roger, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, here, the thing is, I've told people this. When you, like they say, daydreaming.
Yeah.
To me, and this is my experience, daydreaming to me is that your body leaves or your spirit leaves your body. And somebody's going, hey, hey, hey. And you go, huh, what? And it's like back together again.
Okay. That's something we can debate on the show tonight. No. I'm not saying you're wrong. No, not by any chalk. No. However, you can also go into a deep, deep, deep meditation.
Yeah.
And not leave your body. And so it is, that's feasible. So no, God, I'm not arguing with you. It's just a debate. And this is a great thing about this. If your mind and heart is open to learning, you'll learn so much. So I never close my mind down to learning. If somebody says to me, right, I've actually heard that story before, Roger, spot on behind, you know, when somebody's in a deep sleep and all of a sudden they give a jump I've heard that that's the soul coming back into the body. I've heard that story. So that's why I wouldn't argue with you. That's very feasible. And there's a couple of times where I've literally jumped in the bed and sat up and thought, what the heck was that all about? But astral projection is something completely different. Now, in my training as a medium, we were taught to do what's called remote viewing. A remote viewing is kind of basically astral projection.
Up here, looking down?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was able to this day, I still can sometimes, go for a walk around somebody else's house and be in a different place completely. And I mean, I remember I was on a show in the United States where it was one of the guys from Dog the Bounty Hunters. It was his show. And I remember being taken in, you know, projected. And I said, "There, you'll find this girl in the middle of a field, or you find this girl in the middle of a field, and the perpetrators are to the south and to the west." And they made me stay after the show. And they went, "Where did you get that information from?" And I said, "Well, it was brought to me by my guides." "Why?" And they went, "She was found in the middle of a football field. And we know that the guys who have got her are just over the border in Mexico. And the other guys were in California." So you see, they went, "So your positioning is right." I said, "Well, you've missed two guys over to the right." So from what I understand, that they were getting them. But that's a kind of projection for me as well. So I was projected because I was walking on this grass, but I just saw it as a field. I didn't see any lines on it. Right. I just saw it as a field. And but I just saw her in the center of this field.
I did one like that where I was in, this is when we were living in Minnesota, which is right across the border.
Yeah.
But we were living in Minnesota, and this lady called me from Washington, the state of Washington. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "where are you calling me?" She said, "Washington." I said, "Are you in Seattle?" And she says, "Yes." I said, "What troubles you?" And she says, "I'm looking for my daughter." And I told her, I said, "Your daughter talked about committing suicide, about hanging herself." She goes, "Yes, she's been talking about that." I said, "In your backyard, there's trees." I said, "There's like trees that are only so high, like 10 feet high." I said, "But there's an opening where you can go down the hill and end up at an intersection where there's a big hill. The street comes down like that on a big hill." She goes, "How do you know that?" I said, "Because I'm there right now. I'm looking at the whole area."
Yeah.
And I said, "There's a road that goes down." I said, "And there's more bushes and whatnot there, like the woods." And she goes, "Yes, you're right." I said, "I get the corner," and I mentioned the street names. She goes, "My God, how do you do that?" And I said, "I don't know how I'm doing it, but I'm doing it." I said, "Please go with me." I said, "I see your daughter." I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry." She goes, "What, what? I said, "I'm sorry." She did what she said she was going to do. And they found her.
Wow.
I'll never forget that one.
Oh, I was very, very lucky. In fact, the person that I did it for comes on our show on a regular basis. I'm not going to say who it is, but... they lost this person, and I went on this remote viewing. I told them to go up to the top of the road. "You need to go left. As you go down two blocks, there's a turning to the right." And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Four houses up on the left," and they found the daughter. Good. And they found her alive. She was fine.
Thank God.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that you ended up finding. Well, you know what? As much as is extremely painful how you find that this young lady thought the only way out was taking her life, but you at least brought some sort of completion to the family, sort of closure.
I don't say closure. I just could say it's done. You know, you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
But you know what, Paul? This is why people say, "Oh, what a beautiful gift you have." And I look at them and I go, "Really?
Really? Yeah."
Because we have to take things like that, which are the bad,
yeah,
and the good.
It can be so, oh my gosh, so painful at times. Yeah. There are times when, you know, I had to work extremely hard at disassociating with the emotions at the beginning. It's not so difficult these days. But when I started doing readings, I remember this gentleman came in and he had lost his son, and his son was only 2 years old. And I picked up the son, of course, and then I picked up all of his emotions, and I was wrecked for days because I had all of his emotions and the son's emotions. Yeah. And can you imagine what it was like to lose that little two-year-old boy? Wow, that was so. And then people go, "My God, you've been given such a gift," and you think to yourself, "Yeah, really? Give it a go, find out."
I'll give you another one, Paul. I remember we talked about predictions before and all that.
Mm.
And I closed my eyes and I started seeing something and I was crying. And Faye goes, "Why are you crying?" I said, "This little girl's trying to outrun lava." I said, "It's going to swallow her. I see it. I seen her legs get swallowed and then she was gone."
Oh.
And that's things that I have to live with that torments you. And people say, "Oh, you got such a beautiful gift." And I go, "Anytime you want it, please take it."
Yeah, it's not always that pleasant. I mean, it's pleasant when we were able to bring through messages for loved ones and to say, "Look, I'm fine. Everything's great. Don't worry about us. We're all good." Yes, it's great. And it's funny. I was talking with Sue Vinicum today, and Sue mentioned that I had actually inadvertently done a reading for her either last week or the week before. And everything I had said came through for her, but she had thought I was talking about, or I was doing the reading for somebody else. And I, I was trying to tell her that could very well have been the case. But say, for example, I was doing a reading for Roger, and then all of this information is coming through, but Roger's looking at me blankly. It could be Roger's family that is opening the message or the information highway for to bring through all that data for Sue. Because Roger's dad is on the other side of life and he's such a wonderful gentleman. He said, no, come on. I've got a hold of Paul. Listen, just tell him everything you need. So the message comes through via, well, just put it this way. When you receive a letter, do you receive it from the postman or from the person you sent it?
The postman gives it to you.
Yeah, the postman gives it to you, but he's not the one who sent it, is it?
No.
So you still get that, and that's my point. The message comes through from the postman, but it's not necessarily the person who sent it. So always think laterally.
Like John Edwards says, just deliver the mail.
That's what he said to me. Yeah, he said, "Paul, you're the mailman. Just deliver the mail. Don't read it." Rachel said, "I think I meant a visitation." Yeah, that visitations are fantastic, Rachel. And the more that you experience visitations, the more they will happen. And yep, they are worth 1,000 medium readings because you are getting direct contact from your loved ones.
Paul, how about the reading that I did one time for Vanessa, who comes on all the time on our show? Yeah. And she said, "I'm so worried about my sister." Bum, 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 bum. And I just told her straight out, "Don't worry about your sister." I said, "She's in another dimension." I said, "She's sitting with her head like this and she's all right." Well, Vanessa got back to me 2 hours later that her sister had passed.
Wow.
She went into the other dimension.
Wow.
And that one gave me chills and everything. And I just said, "I don't want to do this."
Well, gosh. But
it is what it is.
We are to do the work. You got to disassociate with the work and you got to get on with it. Let me just say that Kathy Hanley says, "Hi, boys." Hi, Kathy. Ken Schoon says, "Hi, guys." Hi, Ken. Kimmy the Medium says, "Paul, how much of your psychic readings do you have a website?" Yes, I do have a website. And in fact, give me 2 seconds and you'll be able to. There you go. There's my website. And you basically go on there to book sessions with me. She said she can put herself outside her house and go anywhere she wants. Well, I wouldn't. I have no reason to argue with that particular point.
Right.
It is feasible. It is possible. It is dangerous. Trudy just warned me. Warned me if you're going to visit my house, I need to tidy up. Trudy, I've known you all these years. You never tidy. So,
Paul, one thing. Let me say this real quick because we're on the same line right now.
Sure.
How do you feel about, what's the word? You know, when you sit around a table and everybody holds hands and...
Oh, seance.
Yeah, how do you feel about those? Oh, that's going out of your body.
No, seances. No, seances are when you... Well, basically... Right, okay. I'm not sure what we... I'm going to assume that you, when we sit around a table holding hands, right?
Yeah, because okay. Your spirit takes over somebody, or the spirit of somebody else comes in you.
Not necessarily. So the idea, right? Well, okay, it depends on the medium, really. There are different types of medium, but the concept, a seance is, well, basically, it's a concept of being able to open your energy up so spirit energies can communicate. Now, how they communicate, that's a different thing altogether. There are people who do what's called transmediumship, okay? And that's where the spirit comes down through their persona and speaks through them. That's called transmediumship. Now, I did transmediumship in my training, and my guide said to me, you're going to do this tonight, but this is not how you're going to work. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. So I did transmediumship, and there was some gentleman called David was speaking to the class through me. And apparently while he was talking to the class, I don't remember him at all, not remotely. I don't even remember. The only reason I know he was called David, because they told me, he didn't say to me, oh, by the way, I'm David, I'm going to talk for you tonight. That's not how it worked. I just remember, if you imagine sitting in your chair, not imagine, you are sitting in your chair right now, but now imagine just scooting to one side. And that's how it felt. I literally scooted over to one side, scooched over, and then the next thing, I was walking through these beautiful meadows, beautiful skies, and fragrant flowers all over the place. Now, here's the bit that was amazing, was when I came back, and I just felt like I sat down in the chair again, and I opened my eyes, and all the funny thing about it was all the guys in my class, they're all like that. And I'm like, what? And they went, do you not remember any of that? I said, remember any what? What are you on about? And they went, you don't remember anything? I said, well, I was in this beautiful, beautiful place, like these meadows of flowers. And they went, oh, my God, this guy was talking through you? And the smell of roses was emanating from you. And I said, really? And they went like, and what do you do, Roger? You start going.
Yeah.
Really. Check it. Really like that? And I said, no, I was in this place where there's all beautiful flowers and beautiful skies, and it was almost like somebody had drawn it in a movie. And they went, no, this guy called David came through, and he was very, very genteel, and he was talking about this, that, and the other, and the teacher was asking you questions, and I don't remember a single thing about it. But my guide Sean said, this is not how you're going to work. We're going to do this so you know what that this is how it happens. So now, going back to the concept of a seance, basically what happens is people sit around the tables, they link their hands. Now, if you're doing a proper seance, there's actually footage somewhere on the internet of me sitting next to Derek Acora, and we're doing a seance. I got Derek to my right and holding his hand, and I got some guy to my left, and Johanna is about 3 or 4 people away, and we're doing a seance. Now, the idea is that you start the energy off and you start swirling it around the circle. You see, if I was the beginning, I'd start pushing it over to the person to my right, and then they'd pass it on, and they'd pass it on till it came all the way back again. Then you speed it up, and you speed it up, and then to the point where it's almost forming a white circle of light, and then that goes out. And that's where the spirit energies can come in, tap into that energy, and communicate. Now, they can communicate through physical means. They can make things happen in the room you're in, you know, switch the lights on and off, make things happen, blah, blah, blah. Or they can, if there is somebody in the group who is a trained transmediumship, they can come then down through that person and start delivering messages that way. But I've been in all of those aspects, all of them. And I've witnessed in my own eyes stuff that you would just think, oh, Paul, you're telling us little lies now. But I promise you, I don't lie when I'm talking about my work. I've seen Now, you know what a cone looks like, right? It's it's fat on one side, thin on the other. Now, I get any one of you try and make a cone run in a straight line. Okay? You can't, because you throw it down, it grows in a circle. Mm-hmm. I saw a cone go straight across the room in a straight line. Okay? I have watched bells ring by themselves. Nobody near them. And I went down after the seance and put my hands around the bells to try and find threads, you know, thinking somebody was ringing it. I've watched the bells ring on their own. I've seen a diver's watch, which is a big watch, leap straight off a table. Okay? I've seen tables actually go like that. I have seen so much to warrant me going, I want to learn. I want to learn more. Okay. I have been witness to mediums who are trans mediums and see their face change, hear their tone of their voices change. I've seen all of that stuff. And it's all real. That could be your calling. That could be the area of your expertise.
It happened to me 5 times, Paul. And they said Faye was there, her sister was there, and all her sister's kids.
Yeah.
They were all there. And they said, because when I get it, I get like I'm compressed like this against the wall. And they were saying that I brought in her sister, or Faye's brother-in-law, his name was Michael. And I brought Michael in, and I started talking to her, to the wife, Linda, and I'm crying. I don't know why I'm crying, but I'm crying. And everything that I told her, I mean, she understood everything. And I'm still compressed against like this. And then finally, when he let go, I was like,
yeah.
And I'm looking around, and everybody's like,
yeah.
And to this day, that now, Faye went to go see two of her nieces that were there at that time that happened.
Yeah.
And they constantly talk about it. Well, I did it.
You've seen the movie Ghost, right? Whoopi Goldberg.
Yep.
You know what? What happens? Okay, slightly exaggerated with the Whoopi Goldberg part in the movie Ghost, but it does happen. It has happened. I've seen it happen. It literally has. When you're watching it on TV, sometimes please, 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 just take a tablespoon of salt or something, or a pinch of salt. Take it with a pinch of salt, because for it to happen, the medium has to be prepared. It doesn't. They don't just jump into you.
Right.
It's not possible for them to just leap into you. You know, and this stuff where they're taken over by so-called demons, no, doesn't work that way either. They have to be prepared and open for it to happen, because you still have a natural protection as a human being. You're as a kid, and you're brought into the world and you're christened. That's an immediate protection. Okay, and then you build up through your life as a Christian or whatever religion you come from. That's a protection around you. And then you come to Uncle Paul and he teaches you psychic protection. You got that as well. And spirits can't decide they're going to jump into you. You have to be already chosen to be open to do it to happen.
Well, this happened, Paul, unbeknownst to me, because here he's been gone for a while and I never met the man.
Yeah.
And I just was sitting there talking to my sister-in-law, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 I'm thrown against the wall, like. And I said, what is this? And next thing you know, he's talking and crying and everything else. Everybody, when I snapped out of it, their mouths were wide open, and they all had tears running down their face. And I thought, I told Faye, I said, what happened? She goes, you're not going to believe this. You brought Mike in. And I said, I did. Who's Mike? And she told me.
So you should look at a little bit more training in that field. That could be your calling. But
I get scared of going this, you know, so everybody knows we have the tendency, Paul and I and others, to go to the other side and come back.
Yeah.
Like, boom, just like that. Sometimes I get scared of doing the seance because I feel I'm going to stay over there. And if I do, I don't mind it, but I don't want to leave Faye behind, you know?
Well, it's funny that Johanna said to me tonight, she goes, I'm not frightened of dying. She goes, you are. And I went, no, I'm not frightened of dying. I said, I don't want to die,
right,
but I'm not afraid of it, because I do know that when my time comes, but I'm not in any hurry. I don't want to go for, I want to have grandchildren, possibly great grandchildren. I want to have that gift.
I have them.
So, you know, I want that gift before my time is up. So no, I'm not in any room. Yes, I know what's coming. Yes, I do. And so that removes the fear, but that's what I've worked for the last 35 years of my life, to get rid of that fear. Will I just run into something stupidly open-minded, thinking, no, yeah, I know I'm not going to die? No. I still have fear. I'm not in any...
But it's inevitable, Paul. We all have a day.
When the day... Well, actually, what I've found in my experience over the last 35 years, that's not strictly true. Yes, there's a date. Okay, there's a date. Like, for an example, you, Roger, okay? You've had how many heart attacks?
Three.
Okay, so that's three separate dates for you.
Yeah.
All right, so you're not across, which I'm very glad to say, but you're not over on the other side of life. So you had three separate dates of when you were possibly supposed to go home, and you're not there. Okay, so that backed up with all the information that I've seen, and my dad proven as well. His blood pressure dropped to a point where he should have been dead. And he then lived another further 3 months at that blood pressure. Okay, so basically the doctors were saying to us, every day your dad lives, he's rewriting the medical books. So my dad's crossing date, my dad had five heart attacks. One heart attack was so intense, he was dead before he hit the ground. Okay. Now, let's put it this way, guys. I want everybody to pay attention, everybody around the world who's listening to our voices tonight, okay? My dad, my beautiful dad, was walking down the street of Armagh City. Now, it's a city like any major city around the world, like London, like Belfast. It's a city, okay? And it's got hundreds of thousands of people in it. And my father is walking down this street in Armagh, has a full-on heart attack so intense that the doctor said he was already dead before he hit the ground. Okay, he hits the ground, lands on the ground on the side of his face, and who's standing just in the doorway of the shop that he collapses outside of but his cardio nurse.
Wow.
You could not write those odds.
You can't.
You could not write this. This is not possible. The person who's actually told to look after my dad in a whole city happens to be standing in the doorway where he collapses. No. I mean, I used it in my comedy show for quite some time. That was my mom upstairs going, oh, no. No, he's not coming up yet. You know, boom. No. So. He, you know, he had one heart attack put him across the bonnet of a car, or you guys would call the hood, put him across the hood of the car. He had five dates of when he was supposed to go home and didn't. Alrighty? So what my understanding is, if you really, really don't want to go home on the date that you were assigned, it is possible to stay a bit longer.
Well, me, I almost drowned. That's the first time. The second time I was on the phone and lightning hit the ground and went through my hand. The third time I had the heart attack and the stroke, and I'm still here. So I tell everybody, I shook the Lord's hand three times.
Actually, I'm trying to think now that the Lord just doesn't want you back.
Okay, it's time for me to leave.
Right, just before we go any further, guys, I'm going to be, or Roger and I will be right back after this short message. Thank you.
fancy smancy, boy. Oh, oh boy.
We got one more. Here we go.
You are listening to UPRN, United Public Radio Network, coming to you live on 105.3 right up to 107.7 FM from the beautiful city of New Orleans. UPRNTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, that was fancy smanchy, wasn't it? Then I pressed the wrong button. But let's catch up with all of the wonderful people that are listening to us. And we do hope you guys are enjoying the show tonight. We've already killed an hour.
Really?
Yeah. Would you believe that? Emma says, Sue says, I beg your pardon, first of all. You picked up on my two-year-old who had passed. So hope I didn't. No, it didn't traumatize me, my sweetheart. The way I work today is much more. Back then, when I picked up that gentleman and his two-year-old boy, it was the gentleman's energy that threw me all over the place, because I was a dad at that stage, so I was picking up his vibrations as a dad who had lost a two-year-old. The two-year-old himself, the little boy, was just elated. He was elated, but the dad was in so much pain that I picked up on that pain, and that sent me all over the place. But today, I'm able to disassociate with those energies. I'm able to understand what is my energy and what is not my energy. I'm also able to allow spirit to sort of affect me in a way. Like, for example, if Roger was on the other side of life, and he wanted the person that we're reading for to say it was Roger, he could then send one of those heart attacks across my chest, and I'd feel it. But I would then, you may have even seen me go, yep, okay, I understand, take that away. And then it just lifts. But back then, when I was learning, I didn't really have that knowledge to say, okay, I understand that this gentleman's going through this pain, but I don't want to feel it. It's exactly what I should have said, but I didn't. I just let it happen. I mean, it took me days to get rid of it. But Sue, thank you, my darling. And it's more to Roger and I that you've got the message that it makes your life happier. That's why we do what we do.
It is.
I know you're. And anyway, Emma says, I'm sure that it can be very hard seeing stuff like that. She's obviously talking about visions, about especially when you saw that little girl. Let's go quickly on down here. Twice in the past few weeks, I woke up during the night to a man with me. Most women will go, wee-hee. Twice in the last few weeks, I woke up to a man with me, and the second time, it was a woman. Neither one was familiar to me, so I was left feeling, are they my guides? Well, when I'm doing, I know I've been saying this for quite some time, so please bear with me. I do have a conversation with Roger and Faye on a regular basis, but the reason I haven't been able to do the seminars that are planned is because they're planned for when after I've moved home, and we haven't moved home yet. Our legal system over here, the word slow doesn't come close to it, okay? It's ridiculously slow. But there is not a lot of point in me starting seminars and saying, oh, by the way, guys, I can't make it next week, or I can't make it the week after, because I'm in the process of moving home. So I will be doing the seminars for you. And the very first seminar will be how to meet your guides. The second seminar will be the new one on where the one I advertised quite recently with the Lion's Head. And it's the new concept that is clearly affecting everybody, than, you know, this whole, I've called it the awakening. Now, I just proved my point on this show last week that the awakening is happening. The amount of people that were able to read an aura and then were sending me messages later going, OMG, I couldn't believe I was able to do that. No, that's because the awakening is happening. That's why. Yep. Will you become a medium? Most likely no. Most likely no, because you tend to be born with the skills of, or sorry, the ability of a medium, but you are psychic. That's different. All mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. So Jump in anytime. Roger, you're part of the show tonight. Don't forget. Randy says, hi, sorry I'm late. Nah. Don't ever say that.
You're okay. But first off, I want to say a very, very special happy birthday to someone who's on here today. Tina Allen, happy birthday. Today is the day of her birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Paul, don't blow it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tina. Happy birthday to you. Watch the musician.
Wow.
Join in. He didn't even join in.
No, because I was amazed by the you know.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I thought he was going to join. I thought he was going to grab his guitar.
No, I left that at home. I should bring it here, but we're not allowed to do anything like that. So,
I think happy birthday is not going to kill it. But, Randy says, I know you're not making it up. It's amazing. Thank you very much, Randy. Ann Campbell says, I just feel so blocked spiritually at the minute, despite doing meditations and trying to connect. I feel switched off. Now, and it's very, 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 very rare that I'm allowed to remember anything in a reading. I'm not. However, I will get what's called a familiarity about a reading. In other words, an energy will say to me, you did discuss this, and then blah, 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 blah. Now, the feeling that I'm getting with you, my darling sweetheart, is it's not that you're blocked. It's that you're blocking yourself.
Yep.
Okay? And you're blocking yourself because you're not dealing with something that's going on around you. You're just kind of wishing it to go past, or you're wishing yourself to go around it, or you're wishing it will disappear. And we have a concept called the ostrich effect. And the ostrich effect, when the ostrich gets into a fearful position, it sticks its head in the sand. And that's what's happening, and that's why you're feeling blocked. So you need to literally step up to the plate, and you might... Whatever it is that you have to deal with, it might be painful, but then you'll have dealt with it and you will feel so much better afterwards. Trust me, whether it's painful or whether it's great, you will feel so much better, because if you've got to step up to the plate and say, no, we're at the end of this journey. Yes, it's going to be painful, but the following day, all that rubbish, all that crap is just going to leave you and you're going to feel much better. Roger, jump in.
Well, I agree with you, Paul. She's blocking herself. Here's what a lot of people do. They're going to do a reading or whatnot, and they got this next to them. Get rid of your phone. Turn it off. Turn everything off before you meditate. You can't meditate with your phone on or with something, the TV on. You know, meditate means meditate, period. Wipe it all out and start from there.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. I've got lovely people saying, hi, Paul and Roger. Very interesting. Absolutely do believe. I definitely believe in that. And you're coming through to us like this.
And yeah, we don't know who you are.
It's just we can't come out of Facebook. Join us through YouTube.
Yeah.
Jackie Noon says, well, let's give thanks. You're still with us. I don't know if she's talking about me or you.
Both of us.
No, she's probably talking about you. She probably doesn't like me anymore.
I wonder why.
Michigan's in the house.
Hi, Lisa.
Michigan's in the house.
Let me ask you this, Paul, regarding what Mary Erickson said. She had two people in spirit visit her that she did not recognize.
Oh, yeah, we never finished that off, did we?
Right. And my thing is this. The house, the land that her house was built on, somebody prior to her being there could have stayed on the land.
Very much, yeah. Yep, very much.
You know, like, this is our place. What are you doing putting this, you know?
Well, I would agree with that. Yeah, very often the case is you have a visitation from energies that were sometimes as well. As I just want to extrapolate on what Roger's saying on the land, but also... Very often the case in the United States, they do what's called teardowns. We don't do that so much over here, but in the United States, they do a lot of teardowns. So there could have been a house standing on that spot, and then it was torn down, and another house replaced it In which case, the first people to come back going, I don't remember this house looking like this.
Right, exactly.
You know, so you, visitations can come. But I would say, Roger, would you agree with me? I would say 95% of the people who visit tend to be family. 95%.
Yeah. Yep.
There is 5% there that will give you a leeway of visitations due to the house, visitations due to the area, or even what we have, unless you're a person that goes out doing ghost hunts on a regular basis, yes, it's possible for energies to follow you back. Yes, that can happen.
Yep.
But it's really rare. Really, really, really
rare. But also
really
they can attach themselves to an item.
Roger, and I disagree. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen of the planet, let me say this first. Ladies and gentlemen of the planet, I am Paul Francis. I'm a psychic medium. Roger is Roger Garza Sr. He's a psychic medium. We both work for the benefit of mankind, but we don't work the same way. Okay? Roger's phenomenal at what he does. I'm okay. Roger believes in certain aspects of what he does. I don't necessarily believe in this. It does not mean that we fall out and we argue. We have the ability to understand. Both of us have different aspects. Roger's very brilliant at doing premonitions, and I don't do premonitions. People say to me, do you know what's going to happen to me next year? And I always say, whatever you want. And I mean that. And I'm not saying it to be facetious. I really mean it. What do you bloody want? So it's not going to happen unless you want it to. So, and if you don't want it to happen, I can guarantee you won't. It's just that simple. But in situations where Roger, like this here, and this is, and I'm going to explain my reasoning so that you understand that I'm not just being an idiot and being facetious with my dearest friend Roger. Roger says spirits are attached to an object. Are you trying to tell me that somebody who crosses over to the other side of life is immediately immersed in the spiritual world, meets all of their friends and family of all, I mean, all who they've lost through their lives, and go, hang on a second, I can't hang around with you guys because I'm stuck to a clock?
No, it's not that way. What I'm saying in this is that, like, let's take they're alive and they bought this thing that, whatever it is, whether it be a crystal chandelier, whether it be they're attached to it because they loved it so much that they're attached to it. So when they go to the other side, they want to make themselves known and have attached themselves to that crystal chandelier. Let me give you the prime example.
Okay.
This guy got a hold of me and said, can you please help me? I got this spirit that's driving our family nuts. I can see this, I can see that. Da, 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 da. I said, did you ever go to a garage sale or a yard sale of some kind? He goes, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, where do you live? He gave me his address and went over there. And I'm walking in this house, and all of a sudden, just like right now, I got stopped. And I looked to my left, and I said, that mirror that's there, I said, did you buy that at a yard sale? And he goes, yes. I said, I'm picking up the vibes off that. I said, get it out of here. Take it outside and leave it overnight. I said, I'm a moon guy. So I said, let the moon hit it overnight. And then you're going to make three crosses on it with holy water in the left-hand corner. And he just looked at me. I said, if you don't want to do it, don't bring it back in. But everything is going to stop when you get that out of here. Well, like we say in Spanish, dicho y hecho, which means said and done. He took it outside, left it out there, everything stopped. No more of this, no more of that.
Okay.
And I said, well, you can bring it in. No, I don't want to bring it in. Okay.
That's, well, you know what? Like I said, be open to learning.
Right.
But just because I believe one thing doesn't mean I'm absolutely right.
Well, look what Valerie Kesterson says. She goes, and I'm part Native too. She goes Native American on her mom's side.
Right.
And me, it was on my great grandma's side. So, you know, yes, we believe in things like that. to which over there, Paul, and this is no offense to you at all, but I believe you haven't experienced anything like that for the mere fact that you're over across the pond and I'm over here.
And well, this... No, I wouldn't say that, because spirit isn't... No, I'm going to disagree with you on that front, because spirit isn't assigned to one continent.
It's... Oh, no. I'm not saying it that particular way. I'm saying our beliefs, Native American beliefs, are different than what yours is.
But no, I associate more with Native American and Zen than I do anything else.
Okay.
So I have more in common with, I'm very much rooted Christianity, you know, yes, but I also embrace massively the Zen Buddhist belief system, and I also embrace massively the Native American. They mean so much so that they actually gave me a Native American name, and called the Raven. But I also believe and openly embrace the Aboriginal belief system, which is very, very similar to Native American. So I agree. I'm open to learning. I don't care where it comes from. I'm still open to learning. I just don't believe in being stuck to an object. And this haunted doll crap as well. Give me a break. You're trying to tell me that a spirit who's left the physical world. Now, you know as well as I do, Roger, it happens to every single human being. When they let go of the physical, they're immediately embraced by their guides. Yeah. That's immediate. And then they're embraced by their friends and family. So they go and haunt the doll. My advice, stop smoking pot. Okay. Matthias Otto says, "Hi, Paul. I'm feeling much pressured aiming for my next level. Is it okay for me to, or am I bringing..." Matthias, first of all, thank you for being here. Very much appreciate that. I'm not too sure what you mean. You're feeling pressured aiming for your next level. Your next level of what? Is it okay for me? Am I bringing... But first and foremost, you don't need desperation. Desperation is based and inside the concept of guilt. Okay? Get rid of both. You don't need them. You don't definitely don't need guilt in your life. Guilt is a no-win scenario, and it's just... it just eats away at your whole persona. Get rid of it. Desperation, all desperation does is shut you down, closes you down, closes your optimums, your optimism. It closes your mind. It closes your senses. Get rid of both. You don't need either. Okay, you definitely don't need guilt. Get rid of all of that rubbish out of your life. And really, whatever level you are talking about, do you want it? That's what you have to express. Do you want that level? And if you do it, give it 100%. Even if you give it 100% and you fail, it doesn't matter. You've given it 100%. Be well aware of that. If you fail and you haven't given it anything at all, that's where the guilt is going to come in, and that's going to eat you up. So Matthias, get rid of desperation, get rid of guilt, and give the next level, whatever this level is you're talking about, give it 100%. Nothing else comes close. Get in there, make it happen, and you will feel much, 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 much better. Alrighty? Jackie Noon says, "You're both great energies. You're both beautiful people." Well, Jackie, he's not. I am. I'm beautiful. He's kind of, rough and ready, but let's come on. So, he was beautiful. But anyway, Nicola Duran says, "Hi, guys. Lovely to see you." And she also says, "Our home is meant to..." Yeah. "Our home was meant to be built on a burial site."
No.
Oof. No. Now listen, I get called to... There's two places where I get called to a lot. One is where they've moved grave sites. That's always issues. And the other one is hospitals, when they've converted hospitals into apartments and stuff like... Oh my God, you can be absolutely assured you're going to have nothing but problems.
Yep.
Nothing but problems.
Or they take an insane asylum and they want to make that into an apartment building? Oh, God, boy. No. Oh, boy.
No. The energies that have been imprinted in that place are just... it would take you a lifetime to get rid of it. A lifetime. So people come to me and they ring me up and they go, I'm being troubled by a spirit. And I go, where do you live? And they went, Truro. And I go, don't tell me, the old hospital. And they go, yeah, did you know that? Move. That's what I just say. And they go, really? I go, yeah, move. Just move. Don't even bother. Just move.
Because you can't fight something you can't see.
Well, it's not a matter of if you can't fight it. You could if you wanted to, but it's just going to take a lifetime. It's a lifetime of grief. The amount of negative energy that's been imprinted in hospitals is just too deep to move. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, it's like banging your head against the wall.
Yeah, I just say move, move.
Yeah.
Neil Carr says, it seems to me that there's definitely subtle living entities, interdimensional entities, and some of them aren't very nice, and they have no issues or with lying or deception and pretend to be family. Well, that can be the case, yeah. It's not as, shall we say, buoyant as it's led to believe. Okay, let's put it this way. I've been connected and working with spirits since the age of 5. I'm now 59, okay? So for 54 years, I've been connected and working with spirit, okay? I've been a professional medium for 35 years. And in all of that time, I have maybe come face-to-face with what you might call evil twice. In 50 years, twice. So all of this crap that gets shoved in people's faces about, oh, negative energies this and demons that and evil this and all that rubbish is total crap. First and foremost, evil will not tell you it's evil. It won't happen. They won't come. They don't walk around the corner and go, That's not how it works, all right? Evil, in its true sense, is very sneaky. It's way in the background, and it builds very, very, very slowly. It can take 5, 10, 20 years before it manifests. And you will know then whether you're coming across what you might refer to as evil. Demons... you know, people say, oh, this place, this house has got a demon in it because there's, you know, this is being thrown across the room and that's being thrown across the room and so on and so forth. No, that's just a pissed off spirit. That doesn't mean it's evil. And usually it's pissed off because nobody's paying it any attention. It's trying to let you know it's been there. It's been trying to let you know it's there and nobody's paying any attention to it. And just think about the same thing. If you were coming into your friends' houses all the time and they were just ignoring you constantly, pretty soon you're going to get a little bit peeved and start going, you know what, show it, throw something at them and leave. That's the same thing. Just because it does that does not remotely mean in any specific way that it's evil. It definitely doesn't mean it's a demon. Roger, please jump in. And yeah, I'm aware.
Okay.
Before Roger speaks, he is speaking to you tonight from the UPRN network, United Public Radio Network, on 105.3 right up to 107.7, coming to you from the very beautiful town, city, and continent of New Orleans. And right after the show tonight, don't forget you are going to have the Outer Realms with Michelle and Amelia. Make sure you stick around to watch that too. Roger, what were you going to say? That's enough of you. So thanks for... Go on, jump in, buddy, jump in.
I just want to say, you know, first off, thank you for having me today.
There's no thanks needed. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to have you here.
But anyway, getting back to what everybody was talking about, you know, here's the one thing that really bugs the hell out of me. When I see these shows, they go into a so-called haunted place, and then the girl knows it's haunted, yet she has a tendency to, Yeah. I said, what are you screaming for? You know it's haunted.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what annoys me? Is when they go in and start taunting spirit.
Oh, yes.
That drives me absolutely, totally, and utterly
no
out of my mind.
No respect for the dead at all.
Well, I don't agree with what the concept of death, and I learned that very, very early on in my career. I've shared this with you before, Roger, where I remember doing a reading for this girl, and the gentleman that was coming through, and I said to him, "But you're dead. How would you know?" And he said, "If I'm dead, how could I be talking to you?"
True.
So from that moment, I never ever forgot that lesson. So they don't associate with the concept that we call death. They, in fact, when they're coming through to me, they always refer to me as birthday or anniversary. They never ever say, "This is the day I died," ever. Not in my 35 years as a professional have they ever spoken of, "This is the day I died." They say my birthday or my anniversary, and they all 100% of the time say, "I went home."
Okay. Well, what I was referring to, not death. I mean, this is, like I tell everybody, this is our unit that we use to communicate.
Yeah, this is the machine.
Right. So when this dies, the spirit lives on.
Yep, absolutely. 100%. Have you heard of the family in Galway that had the poltergeist? I've heard of many, many families, Nicola, that have had poltergeists. But what you need to understand is the word poltergeist, okay? The word poltergeist is two words. It's not one. It's two words. It's polter and geist, and they're German. And the word polter means unsettled, and the word geist means spirit or ghost, unsettled spirit. The movie Poltergeist gave the concept a negative connotation, but it's not. There's families all over Ireland and the UK, America, who will all have energies that have been interactive in both positive and negative ways, and every one, whether positive or negative, gets the term poltergeist. But it means unsettled spirit. That's what it means. And the reason that everything's been labeled with the concept of poltergeist is because of the movie. Same as Jaws. How many people enjoy swimming at dusk and they hear Ladies and gentlemen of the world, quickly, Roger, you got 1 minute to tell everybody what's happening this Saturday.
We will be doing, Paul, hopefully you'll be there, Paul, and you'll be running things for me. Okay? Paul and I will be doing our show because Faye's out of town until Saturday evening. So I invited Paul to be on our show, which is...
This mug's for you. Oh my God, that poor Faye, what she goes through. I will be appearing on This Mug's For You this coming Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Roger's time, 4:30 p.m. my time. And just in the words of Faye, she is going P-A-R-T-Y, P-A-R-T-Y. She's partying. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of tonight's show. I can't believe that an hour and a half has boom gone like that. Roger, let's do this again on Saturday. You up for that?
Yes, sir. Yes,
we
sir.
Are. For everybody else, we will see you Saturday. And if I don't see you this coming Saturday, then we will see you the following Monday for Reach Across, in which case we'll be doing some reads. And this geezer might well be back with me again. We don't know. Watch this space. Make sure that you smash the like button on the YouTube channel. Make sure you've joined us tonight on YouTube, that you subscribe and you hit the little bell icon. We'll see you all on Saturday. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for being here. Good night. God bless.
That was fun.